Welcome back to Occult Symbolism and Pop Culture. I'm your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today, we've got another bonus episode. Man, the supporter feeds are winning so hard this month. We're going to talk about... This one's too hot. It's too hot for the free feed losers. I'm sorry. We're gonna talk about the conspiracy about Diddy. Because this one is, boy, oh boy, red hot. And it's on the pulse of all the big things. The big things. You know what I'm saying? We're going to talk about the allegations of an Epstein-inspired operation. We're talking sex trafficking. Talking about underagers. We're talking about the most powerful players in the entertainment industry. Music industry. We're going to discuss his recent issues since the release of the latest in a string of lawsuits. This one by Lil Rod. We're going to talk how he had three homes raided. I mean, bro... When the federales are breaking into your home, you might be done. But we're gonna walk through the entire court document. It's a 73-page-ish document. I'm gonna highlight what I find important. What the hell do I know? But I'm gonna walk you through the whole thing to specifically call out the parts of what we're talking about. We're gonna talk about, because in that document, Lil Rod is making the allegations that say, hey, he's running a sex trafficking operation, a la Epstein. In fact, he even compares it literally to Epstein. And now you see the federales coming through. Uh-oh. There's also allegations of murder and blackmail. He calls out Diddy's Ghislaine Maxwell. We'll talk about her. We'll talk about the future for Universal Music Group and their conspiracy roots, tying us into a different sex cult, Nexium. That's right, they're connected, kind of. Death Row Records, Jay-Z, Lucian Grange, we're leaving no stone unturned. There's so many connections to be made here. J-Lo, Cuba Gooding Jr., Young Miami from the City Girls, her cousin, I should say. Shine, old heads know who Shine is. You notice my man moved... He got out of prison and he was like, I'm not sticking around here no more. I'm out. Usher, Meek Mill, wow, wow, wow. Wow, Bob, wow. It's a wild ride today, folks. So, you know, thanks for being supporters. You know, because I've got, I don't know how many shows I put out this month. I think this is the fourth bonus show if you count the two Twin Peaks shows. I filled up all my ad sponsor requests for the month. So when I get ahead of schedule like that, bonus supporter feeds get a couple bonus episodes for the month, okay? And that's what's happening today. So thank you for being a supporter. If you're still relegated down to that free feed loser status, check it out. It's less than a cup of coffee, folks. Come on. We all love the coffee. But another reason is that I don't know if I want this on a free feed. The stuff we're going to talk about today... It gets real, really real, if you know what I'm saying. So let's get into it. First, let's recall how I was right. I make predictions every year on the wrap-up show. Most of the time, I get my predictions wrong. This time, I nailed it on the head. I literally said, Diddy's not going to have a good year. There was a lot of people looking at him, a lot of accusations flying, and... Ironically, my next prediction was that the Epstein list of co-conspirators wouldn't see the light of day, which it kind of did. So I was wrong there, right? So I need this Diddy one to come back through to get my field goal percentage up. And recall, we did a whole episode on the Cat Williams Shay Shay, Club Shay Shay, whatever the hell it was called, that podcast he was on with Shannon Sharp. And he was naming names and dropping allegations. And he said that Diddy was going to get cooked. Take a listen.
Chappelle. Dave Chappelle walked away from 50 million. You said it was more. Tell the story.
That's right.
I'm going to let you tell it.
No, you're
no,
the best.
I want you to tell it.
You really are the best. You're proving it here today. As much as I'm proving it, you proving it. You proving it. Yeah, that wasn't the thing. It wasn't. People say that. He lost $50 million. No, that's not even close to what happened to this dude. And until you understand what happened to the dude, you don't understand what happened. Like, no, not they offered him $50 million and he turned it down. Who gonna turn down $50 million? Now, I've had to turn down $50 million four times. four times just to protect my integrity and that virgin hole I was telling you about. Right. Because P. Diddy be wanting the body. And you got to tell him no. You got to tell him no. I did. I did. See, I got the receipts for everything I'm telling you. That's why I can say them so freely.
Kid, I need another one. Here, get your number.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Come on.
Because early on, you was accusing me of being...
Cat, man.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But yeah, Cat Williams was talking all about the whole, how the industry makes these men wear dresses, and how Diddy was going after Cat. And man, oh man. Now, what happened was there was multiple lawsuits against Diddy. I think Cassie was the first one to drop last year, and they settled that one out of court. And they were all making these allegations of these improprieties going on. And then the Lil Rod document came out, that court document. That's the one we're going to go through today. And wow. I've been reviewing it for a while, and, you know, because I got to work on things here and there. And then I saw that they were raiding his home. I said, oh, this one just moved up on the priority list. So I bumped it up, and I got through the document 5 a.m. Okay. I did this. I finished it this morning. But there's been some fallout since that document. This was just a couple weeks ago that thing came out. Monday, March 25th. That was yesterday. Says, this is from CNN. Homes belonging to Sean Diddy Combs were searched by authorities Monday because he's a target of a federal investigation carried out by a Department of Homeland Security team that handles human trafficking crimes. The probe is being led by the U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of New York, which, from what I hear, if you got the Southern District of New York, that's not a good sign for you. You better lawyer up with the best ones you can get. The investigation stems from many of the same allegations put forth by several civil lawsuits filed in New York against Combs with allegations of sexual assault, including one filed in December in federal court that included allegations of sex trafficking. According to a second law enforcement source, blah, blah, blah. Okay, a law enforcement source earlier told CNN that Monday searches were related to an ongoing sex trafficking investigation. HSI in New York said Monday it executed law enforcement actions as part of an ongoing investigation in cooperation with local law enforcement. Blah, 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 blah. So they raid his homes. They put his kids in cuffs. Later release him, from what I understand. Where's Diddy in all this? Well, seems like Diddy had a little advanced notice of that, which is really interesting. We're going to come back to that at the end in the conclusion. Because, plot spoiler, it's possible Kanye was right and that he's a fed. We'll talk about that later. But where was Diddy when all this happened? He was flying in his little Lolita Express. Oops, I mean Love Air. His private jet to Epstein Island. Oh, I mean the Caribbean, Antigua. Yeah, that's right. There's parallels there. Private jets flying to the Caribbean. Lolita Express, Love Air. I mean, these guys are running parallel operations, it seems like. Allegedly, maybe. I'm going to read to you again from the news. Sean Diddy Combs' private jet was reportedly on the ground in the Caribbean while Homeland Security raided several of his properties in the States. TMZ tracked the rapper's black Gulfstream 5, known as Love Air LLC, to Antigua Monday afternoon. I'm sure it's Love Air LLC because he's probably dodging taxes on it somehow. Who knows? Per the outlet, the plane left the LA area around 9 a.m. Monday morning and headed straight for the Caribbean. It's unclear who was on board, since TMZ later obtained a video of the rapper outside the Miami Executive Airport just after the raids. He couldn't have been on his private jet. So, if he wasn't on the jet, maybe some things were on the jet that he had to get out of there. Uh-huh. Maybe he had advance notice this was going down. Who knows? There's conspiracies that he's headed over to Cape Verde, which is off the coast of Africa, because there is no U.S. extradition law there. Meaning, if he can get there, he doesn't have to come back to the States ever. And I read House and Habit Jessica Krause. I did her show. I did her show last October. We did an Eyes Wide Shut special. Take a listen to that because that's relevant here with all this abuse stuff. But House and Habit, you know, wildly popular Substack writer. I highly recommend you follow her. She released a thing about this whole Diddy ordeal, and she talked about the Notorious B.I.G. Diddy Hypnotized music video. And I watched it again. I said, holy crap, that is kind of weird. It's all these federales chasing Big and Diddy in their boat out to the Key West, or no, the Keys, Florida Keys, I think. The Caribbean, right? That's right. Take that. And actually, there's a shot towards the end where these women are in the room and you see this table that I swear looks identical to the Twin Peaks table that you see in the Red Room in the season 2 finale. Call me crazy. But that's completely unrelated here. But, you know, Big's got some questionable lyrics, right? Your daughter's tied up in the Brooklyn basement. What? Then didn't he have a lyric about raping someone and throwing a girl over a bridge once? But the lyrics to Hypnotize, it seems much darker now when I'm looking at it through this conspiratorial lens. Biggie, can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I just love your flashy ways. Guess that's why they're broke and you're so paid. And it makes me think of MKUltra, NLP. Sometimes your words just hypnotize me. And I guess that's why they're broke and you're paid. Because you are able to be a part of this sort of ring of trafficking. I don't know. I mean, you could easily argue that away and say, hey, Wiener, they're talking about his rap lyrics are so good. That's why he's getting paid. True. Granted. But the video shows the predictive programming of what would happen to Diddy's life 30 years later. Now, the links to Epstein... Well, let's go through the document, but I'm gonna tease you here. The links to the Epstein story are pretty wild. Even this court document straight up says it. They imply this particular woman is Diddy's Ghislaine Maxwell, and Lil Rod claims that Diddy's running almost the exact same blackmailing videotaping operation that Epstein was, with all these major, huge figures involved. And it's on page 33, no less. 33, of course, the number in the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry, symbolizing the great work. So without further ado, let's... I'm gonna walk you through this document, and you're not going to believe some of the things. If you haven't heard this or read it yet, strap in, folks. The document... And look, I'm not a legal expert. These are all my completely uninformed opinions. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm going to read specific passages and give my opinion. This is not legal talk. This is not legal mumbo jumbo. I don't know what I'm talking about. All right. Please review it for your own self. But Lil Rod basically is claiming a RICO case against a whole bunch of big names. I'm going to read you from page 35 first. The members of the RICO enterprise all share a common purpose: to enrich themselves financially and sexually at the expense of producers, musicians, writers, creators, and artists by maximizing defendants' revenues through fraudulent means. So, and you won't believe some of the names of who he says is part of this, right? Let's get into the document. Now, I'm going to just start on, this is going to be a little bit different than usual because I got to kind of read off this document and then, you know, do it on the fly here. Okay, so we start with page 1, and I'm not going to read every gory detail, but this is going to take a minute. Page 1 here, we're going to have the names of Rodney Jones as the plaintiff versus the defendants, which is Sean Combs, that's Diddy. Justin Dior Combs, that's Diddy's son. He was actually arrested last year for DUI, got probation because he's got that Diddy lawyer money. We got Ethiopia. I'm trying to get these daggone comments to show on my... How do I get my comments to show? There we go. Ethiopia Habtemariam. She was an intern at LaFace, worked her way up to be CEO of Motown. Lucian Charles Grange. That's Sir Lucian Grange to you, peasant. This is the British CEO of Universal Music Group for the last 14 years. Since 2010, this guy's been running it. Voted the most powerful person in the music business by Billboard magazine. I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. These are big, bold claims against big people here. Christina Colram, that's Diddy's chief of staff. And then, of course, they got all the record labels and studios and so on, right? They name a couple Jane and John Does and all this stuff, right? Well, then they explain who the different people are, right? And I kind of explained that to you on the short version. Interesting thing here. They're naming all the labels and enterprises and such, and one of them is Combs Global, which I presume is says defendant Combs Enterprises is a diverse portfolio of businesses and investments that includes music, fashion, fragrance, beverage, marketing, film, television, media properties. And the symbol is that of basically a Vesca Pisces. This is the womb entrance. When you're talking about occult symbolism, it's the intersection of the spiritual and the physical realms, right? And if you put it, he's got it sideways, but if you put it straight up vertically, that represents the female yoni. It's the entrance to the mystical place. Then they introduce, you know, Rodney Jones, a.k.a. Lil Rod. They say it weird. It says Rodney Lil Rod Jones Jr. is from the Windy City, Chi-Town. Like, who's these lawyers typing this up? Why wouldn't you just put Chicago, Illinois? That was weird. I thought that was strange. Like, it's a legal document. What are we doing here? Anyway, it says here, and of course, I'm skipping through a lot and paraphrasing. I'm pulling out the important stuff, what I deem important. On or about August 2022, Mr. Jones received a call from Mr. Combs requesting he produce several songs on an R&B album titled The Love Album Off the Grid. That's how Lil Rod linked up with Diddy, August of 22, okay? And then from September 22 to November 23, Lil Rod produced 9 songs for the album, okay? Throughout his time with Mr. Combs, Mr. Jones witnessed, experienced, and endured many things and went far beyond his role as a producer on the Love album. Mr. Combs required Mr. Jones to record him constantly. On several occasions, Mr. Combs took Mr. Jones' cell phone and began recording himself. As a result, Mr. Jones has secured hundreds of hours of footage and audio recordings of Mr. Combs, his staff, and his guests engaging in serious illegal activity. Now recall, we did a show last year about Jamie Foxx. That was exactly what he was doing. Remember, he was following Diddy around at all these parties, and supposedly he had all the dirt on Diddy. And remember last year he had that medical scare that we still don't know what happened, but he kind of went off the grid for a while. And people say he was a clone, and then Netflix releases a movie called They Clone Tyrone with Jenny. I mean, it's crazyville. It's crazyville. But apparently Lil Rod, how do you want me to call him? Lil Rod or Mr. Jones? I think they call him Mr. Jones in the document, so we'll do that. So we don't confuse anyone. All right. Mr. Combs providing... Okay, so then you talk about... Mr. Jones has evidence of all these things. Acquisition, use, and distribution of ecstasy, coke, GHB, ketamine, marijuana, mushrooms, displaying and distribution of unregistered illegal firearms, providing laced alcoholic beverages to minors and sex workers at his homes in California, New York, and the Virgin Islands and Florida. Mr. Combs' chief of staff, Christina Colram, KK, instructed her staff to retrieve drugs so she can provide it to Mr. Combs for his consumption. Christian Combs, that's, I guess, one of his sons, drugging and sexually assaulting a woman. Mr. Combs detailing how he planned to leverage his relationship with Bishop T.D. Jakes to soften the impact on his public image of Casey Ventura's lawsuit. Wasn't he in trouble for something recently? Old T.D. Jakes. I remember watching him on Oprah, and I was like, man, I kind of like this guy. Let's see, January. Okay, December. Bishop T.D. Jakes appears to address alleged ties to Diddy. I know who I am. Okay, so I guess they were giving him grief back then. But why, right? Sorry, folks. You gotta get a little on-the-fly talk. It says, Bishop T.D. Jakes appears to have responded to unsubstantiated speculation about his ties to Diddy. Okay, so, all right. I mean, just because you're friends with Diddy doesn't mean... Okay, here we go. Last week, Jakes became... This is on Complex Magazine. Last week, Jakes became the subject of an unverified report on social media stating he was gay and that he frequented Diddy's alleged sex parties while also engaging in some wild activities... Wild activities such as having sex with multiple men. I can't even say it. I'm all flustered. So Bishop T.D. Jakes, who, like I said, I seen him on Oprah. I guess they're buddies, right? Young Miami's cousin and her and or assistant sexually assaulting Mr. Jones. Cuba Gooding Jr. sexually assaulting and harassing Mr. Jones. A redacted rapper on Mr. Combs's yacht consorting with underage girls and sex workers. A redacted R&B singer in Mr. Combs's L.A. home consorting with underage girls and sex workers. Now, they have a little asterisk there. All right. The redacted rapper, it says that he is a Philadelphia rapper who dated Nicki Minaj. Everyone is convinced this is Meek Mill. That's the allegation. He fits that criteria. The R&B singer is a Grammy Award-winning R&B singer who had trouble with law enforcement after assaulting a Bijan billionaire. And I think they're saying that that would be Chris Brown, because Rihanna is, I guess, the Bijan billionaire. Crazy. Crazy, crazy. And then some more things, right? It says Mr. Combs gave strict instructions to inform... Okay, so he talks about how... Mr. Jones talks about how he witnessed this shooting, and let me tell you, let me just read it to you. Jeez, unbelievable. Okay, here we go. This is a Chalice Recording Studios shooting. In September 22, Mr. Combs held a writers and producers camp at Chalice Recording Studios, where his son Justin Combs and Justin's friend named G was there. Mr. G is a 30-year-old tall African-American male. There were some musicians there. One evening during the camp, Mr. Combs, Justin Combs, and G were in a heated conversation. It moved out of the studio and into a restroom where Mr. Jones was sitting. Maybe he was pooping, I guess. Imagine pooping when this happens. Mr. Jones was approximately 2 feet away from the bathroom when gunshots rang out. Mr. Jones recalls hearing multiple gunshots. Mr. Jones immediately went into a state of shock that he would be shot next. Mr. Jones genuinely believed that he would be shot through the door due to how close he was. After the shooting ended, a crowd gathered in the restroom. When the door finally opened, Mr. Combs and Just and his son exited. G was laying on the restroom floor in a fetal position, holding his stomach and bleeding out of his leg and hip area. Everyone stood around looking upon G. Frustrated by the lack of aid, Mr. Jones dropped everything, ran to G, placing pressure on G's gunshot wound to his stomach. Hope he washed his hands first. He was applying pressure on his stomach. Mr. Jones realized that G was gushing blood from another area near his leg hip. He decided to lift G and place him to sit on the toilet. Mr. Jones asked the crowd to call the ambulance. Mr. Jones lifted G and brought him to the ambulance at the studio's front. At this time, Mr. Combs and Justin disappeared to another part of the studio. Mr. Combs gave strict instructions to inform the police he had nothing to do with the shooting. He also forced Mr. Jones to lie to the police by telling them that G was shot standing outside the studio by a drive-by assailant. Now, this is very similar to the club shooting in the 90s where, you know, it was Diddy, J-Lo, and Shine, and a guy got shot, and Shine took the blame for it and did 10 years in prison. It sounds similar to the Tupac and Big stuff, right? Shootings outside the studio. Makes you wonder if there's not some more dirt to be had there. And in the document, they show photos of a bunch of stuff too, by the way. And he says he's got even more. Hundreds, he says, that he's given to the court. Which is what I think happened, is he gave them over and now they're raiding his house. Because they said, oh crap, this isn't just a payday, he's got real evidence. Throughout his time living with Mr. Combs, Mr. Jones was the victim of constant, unsolicited, and unauthorized groping and touching of his anus by Mr. Combs. KK reported it to KK, that's Diddy's chief of staff, and she just says, you know, Sean will be Sean. Mr. Jones believes that KK aided and abetted Mr. Combs' sexual assault of him and was working with Mr. Combs to groom him into accepting a homosexual relationship. Mr. Combs used access to Stevie J. I don't know who Stevie J is. I don't have it in my notes. And his knowledge of Mr. Jones' admiration of Stevie J to groom and entice Mr. Jones to engage in homosexuality. Mr. Cohen went so far as to share a video of Stevie J anally penetrating a Caucasian male without a condom. This was done to ease Mr. Jones' anxiety concerning homosexuality. I feel like that would make my anxiety spike. You know? In fact, when I read this the first time, there's parts of this that made me think, man, maybe Diddy's just a funny dude. You know? Like, I was in the military. We were sexually assaulting each other left and right. We weren't homosexual. I mean, some of us might have been, but, you know, it was kind of joking around stuff. There's one guy who'd slap you in the nuts. Yeah, you had to cover your nuts when you walked by the guy. I mean, I don't know. Like, part of me thinks, is this guy just a real square and he's never been around people like this? Not that it's okay. Look, none of this is okay. I'm just saying, like, before we jump to Diddy's running a sex trafficking operation, let's maybe take a step back. But then you read this stuff and you're like, oh, okay, no, this is real. Diddy was doing some crazy stuff. And Mr. Combs said, this is a normal practice in the music industry. Look, even Stevie J is doing it, which is something we've heard over and over again. I talked about this in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. All these claims and allegations about homosexuality in hip-hop being used for blackmail or whatever. Mr. Combs informed Mr. Jones that he had engaged in sexual intercourse with the rapper, redacted, that is allegedly Meek Mill. So Mr. Combs informed Mr. Jones he'd engaged in sexual intercourse with allegedly Meek Mill and allegedly Chris Brown and Stevie J. I say allegedly because the footnotes go to the, you get what I'm saying. Mr. Combs promised to make sure that Mr. Jones wins Producer of the Year at the Grammys if he engages in homosexuality. And then they have screenshots, and it's really hard to tell. It says it's Stevie J anally penetrating the Caucasian male. I mean, I can't tell what's going on there, but the one is blacked out, so who knows? Then we go to Thanksgiving, where this is part of the thing where I think, man, maybe this guy's just a square? I don't know. Listen to this. He says, while using the restroom, young Miami's cousin burst into the bathroom and began groping Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones believed that Mr. Combs sent her in there to sexually assault Mr. Jones. As she entered the bathroom, she dropped to her knees and began performing oral sex on Mr. Jones's exposed penis. Mr. Jones pushed her away and exited the bathroom. Young Miami's from City Girls, if you don't know who she is. She's a famous rapper that was dating Diddy, or is, or whatever. Young Miami's cousin did not accept Mr. Jones's rejection as she proceeded to follow him out of the bathroom. She started undressing and attempted to straddle him and have sex with him in the presence of Mr. Combs and his staff. And when I read this, I think, okay, I'm trying to put myself in the context of what's going on, right? Like, I think maybe Diddy's, you know, kind of like a rock, like Motley Crue type, like shenanigans going on there, right? I mean, if I was a young man, I don't know that I have a problem with all that. I'd be like, man, Diddy's getting me drugs, and these women are doing stuff to me, man. You know, like, is he trying to entice this guy? Or is this guy kind of, I think he professes to be very straight-laced Christian, so maybe that's what really triggered all this, was him saying, like, man, I'm not down with all this crazy stuff. Which, you know, hey, that's his prerogative. Look, that is sexual assault. You can't do that. It's no different. If a woman does do a man or a man does do a woman, it's an uninvited, unwanted touching. But at this point, I'm reading the document, I'm like, I don't know. Mr. Jones, are you just like making something bigger out of like jokes? I don't know, right? But then we get into the Trafficking and Victims Protection Act. It's TVPA is the abbreviation. And this is where it gets real. And I'm like, okay, well, this is bad news bears. Throughout his time with Mr. Combs, Mr. Jones was transported from California to New York, Florida, and the United States Virgin Islands. During this time, Mr. Jones was forced to solicit sex workers and perform sex acts to the pleasure of Mr. Combs. On or about February 2, 2023, Mr. Jones believed Mr. Combs drugged him. Mr. Jones recalls waking up naked, dizzy, and confused. He was in bed with two sex workers and Mr. Combs. He also recalls aimlessly wandering around the house with no clothes on. Then they go, they talk about this recruitment effort where he went to a place called Booby Trap on the river. I guess it's in Florida somewhere. Apparently, he was told to wear this baseball hat. Says apparently these workers were accustomed to servicing Mr. Combs and would know that he is in town by the sight of the bad boy's baseball cap. The following are Instagram photos of two of the sex workers Mr. Combs required Mr. Jones to solicit and have sex with at his home. And he posts photos. I mean, their faces are blacked out. Then, let's see. Okay, so then they post the photos. Mr. Jones had no desire to do any of this stuff. Okay. Then he's got phone numbers of these sex workers he provides. And he says, Mr. Combs used many tactics to maintain dominion and control of Mr. Jones. He promised him a Grammy for Producer of the Year, offered him $250K, so on and so on. And later on, he goes to talk about how he stiffed him on all this. Mr. Combs would often switch up his approach. He would go from promising Mr. Jones the world to threatening him with physical harm. Mr. Combs threatened to eat Mr. Jones's face and informed Mr. Jones that he's willing to kill his mother, Janice Combs, if he must... Wait a minute. What is this saying? Mr. Combs threatened to eat Mr. Jones's face and informed Mr. Jones that he's willing to kill his mother, Janice Combs, if he must, in order to get what he wants, so he wouldn't think twice to harm Mr. Jones. Man, he threatened to kill his own mother. What a nut. All right, and then we talk about more with the miners. There was the party with the R&B artist, which is the Grammy. That's the allegedly the Chris Brown. So there was this party in July with a listening party with allegedly Chris Brown, Justin Combs, sex workers, and some underage girls. The event began at 7. Mr. Combs requested female sex workers and required Mr. Jones to solicit them. They arrive. In addition to sex workers, there were at least 5 women in the crowd that were under the age of 16. And then he talks about how Mr. Combs was making everybody drink and he was lacing the booze. There's video of it. He's got screenshots of Diddy and Justin with these underage girls, allegedly. I can't tell from the photos. This is where Cuba Gooding comes in. Mr. Jones believes that Mr. Combs was grooming him to pass him off to his friends. The fear became reality when Mr. Combs introduced Mr. Jones to Cuba Gooding Jr. while they were on Mr. Combs' yacht. During the introduction, Mr. Combs suggested that Cuba get to know, quote unquote, get to know Mr. Jones better. He then left him alone in a makeshift studio, as evidenced by a video in which screenshots are embedded on the document. Cuba Gooding Jr. began touching, groping, and fondling Mr. Jones's legs, his upper inner thighs, near his groin, the small of his back, and near his buttocks and his shoulders. Mr. Jones was extremely uncomfortable and proceeded to lean away. Mr. Gooding Jr. did not stop until Mr. Jones forcibly pushed him away. And then they have a screenshot. And yeah, Cuba's got his arm around him, but again, I don't know the context, right? But I have to assume that they provided a video that gives the full context, because it says right here, the writer is in possession of a video that will provide a copy to the court. And now we see them raiding the thing, right? And that's part of the reason why I didn't publish this show yet, because I thought, man, who knows? Like, sometimes people are just trying to get a payday, right? But now that I see the feds busting down the doors, I'm like, oh boy, I wonder if all this stuff was true, because I knew that he handed all this evidence over to the court that's not in the PDF. They talk about more influencing of stuff. Mr. Combs, so Mr. Jones was in Mr. Combs' bedroom. Mr. Combs displays his guns, bragged about getting away with shooting people. Mr. Combs shared that he was responsible for the shooting in the nightclub in New York with rapper Shine. He shared that artist and Mr. Combs' girlfriend at the time, Jennifer Lopez, a.k.a. J-Lo, carried the gun into the club for him and passed him the gun after he got into an altercation with another individual. now, let's see here. let's look up the whole thing here. Because Shine, he did his... Okay, here we go. I'm going to read you from the Wikipedia of what happened here. Shine and his mother lived in Brooklyn, where after he was discovered, he was singing in a barbershop. He became a musician and a rapper. On the verge of releasing his debut album, on the evening of December 27, 1999, he went to a nightclub with his mentor slash label boss, Sean Combs, and J-Lo. An argument broke out in the club between Combs and another man. Guns were drawn, shots fired, three bystanders were injured. In June 2001, he was convicted of assault and sentenced to 10 years in prison. His 2000 debut album was nevertheless a success, and he continued to record music while incarcerated. I don't remember the name of that album, but that was a good album, the one that he recorded from prison. He was a great rapper. While serving his prison sentence, Shine became interested in Judaism, became observant, and officially changed his name. He was released from prison in 2009 and was deported to Belize. In 2010, he moved to Jerusalem, where he spent his time studying the Torah. He returned to Belize in 2013, was appointed the Belize Music and Goodwill Ambassador, charged with sustainable development of the music industry in Belize. Shine was then elected to the Belizean House of Representatives in the 2020 general election. Now he's a politician. I don't know. I don't know what to think about all that. Was that a good thing? Did Diddy hook him up with that? I don't know. It is kind of strange though, isn't it? Now they're pulling their sights on the big dog. The big dog, Lucien Grange. Mr. Jones recalls seeing Defendant Grange visiting Mr. Combs' home in Miami and L.A. According to Mr. Jones, whenever Grange visited Combs at his house, it would be in the evening. He and Combs would disappear for hours in Combs' bedroom. Grange sponsored and attended several Love album listening parties at Combs' home in L.A. These parties were sponsored by Defendants MR, LR, and UMG. Those are the labels, I guess. As evidence above, these parties had sex workers and underage girls present. During these parties, Grange knew or should have known that Combs was drugging the attendees through laced bottles of De Leon tequila and Ciroc vodka, which I think those are Diddy's liquor companies. It is no secret that Mr. Combs had specific bottles of alcohol designated for females and other bottles designated for his staff as artists and himself. This fact was detailed by former artists and bodyguards of Combs. As a sponsor of these events, Grange had a duty and obligation to ensure that sex workers and underage girls were not present and that Combs was not spiking the alcohol. So he's blaming Grange on Diddy's bad behavior. But Grange was, he's the big dog. He's kind of the boss of all bosses, right? He's the final boss. On YouTube channel The Art of Dialogue, former bodyguard Gene Deal exposed Combs' pill mixing method used to spike cranberry juice and orange juice. According to Deal, Combs would place ecstasy and other date rape drugs in the juices. Also in that Art of Dialogue, former artist Mark Curry exposed Combs spiking bottles of Moet champagne in the VIP section of nightclubs. Combs would have a set of Moet bottles for his artists and a set for women. Now, Mark Curry is the guy I talked about in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. We're going to come back to that. Then they show a photo of Diddy with KK, his chief of staff, and compare it to Epstein and Ghislaine. So he flat out says this is sex trafficking and KK is the Ghislaine. And he provides his rationale for that. He says, Defendant Karam, that's KK, we'll call her KK, required all employees from the butler, the chef, housekeepers, to walk around with a pouch or fanny pack filled with coke, GHB, ecstasy, marijuana gummies, and Tucci, a pink drug that's a combo of ecstasy and coke. It was important to KK to have Combs' drug of choice immediately ready when he asked for it. KK ordered sex workers and prostitutes for Combs. KK ordered and distributed all those drugs, ketamine, marijuana, mushrooms, ecstasy, coke, GHB, to Combs and his celebrity guests who were present on the rented yacht and his homes. KK forced Mr. Jones to carry Combs' drug pouch against his will. And then he basically says KK was the chief of staff, so she's the head of the RICO enterprise. And, you know, then he calls out some people. Okay, we're getting closer to the end here. While living and traveling with Mr. Combs, Jones discovered that Combs has hidden cameras in every room of his home. That was what Epstein did, right? Jones believes that Combs has recordings of defendants Lucian Grange, Ethiopia Habtermamian, as well as other celebrities, music label executives, politicians, and athletes. Does this not sound like Epstein? Upon information and belief, these individuals were recorded without their knowledge and consent. And as in the case with the homosexual sex tape of Stevie J that Combs provided to Jones, Combs possesses compromising footage of every person that has attended his freak-off parties and house parties. Upon information and belief, due to this treasure trove of evidence he has in his possession, Combs believes he is above the law and untouchable. Upon information and belief, Mr. Combs employs Jose Cruz as his IT director. This writer has spoken to several former employees of Combs who confirm that Jose Cruz is the gatekeeper of all of Mr. Combs's recordings. It says Cruz intentionally hides behind the camera from social media and the internet due to incriminating acts he was required to record for Combs. Then they go through, this is where they kind of start first cause of action. They talk about the RICO enterprise. They talk about the Shine case at the nightclub. It says Combs uses power, money, and influence to bribe jurors and witnesses, such as the friend of the shooting victim, not Natania Rubin, who reported to law enforcement she saw Combs and not Shine pull the trigger and shoot her friend in the face. Rubin later testified at Combs' criminal trial that she was tying her shoe and may not have seen who shot the gun. She later confessed that Combs paid her. Is that true? I don't know if that's true, but that's what they're... I mean, this guy had a lawyer write that down, so, I mean, it's got to be true, right? Then, talks about Robin Greenhill, the accountant, would ensure wiring, funds transfer, or cash payments to sex workers. A bunch of people were involved. It says Young Miami, Jade, and Daphne Joy were paid a monthly fee to work as Combs' sex workers and received payment via wire transfer from Robin Greenhill. Now, that House and Habit article I talked about earlier says that Robin was involved in Britney Spears' conservatorship, leading many Free Britney accounts to be posting this particular part of the new court documents. Not a good look. Then we got another, they kind of sum up stuff for a while. They kind of repeat the same information over and over. As described above, Combs frightened and forced plaintiff in apprehension of harm when he physically and sexually assaulted him. Combs forcibly touched and attempted or threatened to touch plaintiff's intimate areas. He violently gripped and palmed Jones's anus and crotch without consent. Combs forced Jones to work in Combs's bathroom and watch Combs as he showered. Combs forced Jones to work in the studio while Combs stripped naked and to get his body massage. Combs forced Jones to work while Combs walked around naked. Okay. And we're almost done here. Hang on, folks. They talk about the Trafficking and Victims Protection Act. Defendants Sean Combs, Justin Combs, KK, and Combs Global knowingly and intentionally participated in perpetrated, assisted, supported, facilitated a sex trafficking venture that was in and affecting interstate and foreign commerce. Yikes. That's why the federales are knocking down the doors. They even talk about him not paying taxes. They're going to get him on tax evasion. Oh, he's done. He better stay on that island, did he? Combs' co-conspirators benefited financially and received things of value from their participation in Combs' sex trafficking venture, including payments and other compensation from Combs. The co-conspirators who benefited financially include, defendant Jay Combs, KK, and her direct reports. Says under 18 U.S.C. 2, defendants Lucian Grange, Ethiopia Habtermamian, Motown Records, Love Records, UMG are punishable as a principal under 18 U.S.C. blah, 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 and thereby committed and perpetrated violations of blah, 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 when it aided, abetted, counseled, commanded, induced, and procured Combs and his co-conspirators sex trafficking venture and sex trafficking of Jones as well as other underage persons. He asserts that there was people under the age of 18 engaging in commercial sex acts. That's very Epstein, of course. And they kind of keep saying the same stuff every so often. you know, about how all these record labels and UMG are implicated in this. Another one, I think, is the last one I got. Because Lucian is a knight. He got knighted by Prince William, I guess, was involved in it. It says on Wikipedia, he was inaugurated to appointment to the Order of the British Empire and Knight Bachelor by Prince William, November 29th, 2016. Well, in here, in the document, it says, among the financial benefits that Grange, Habtermamaman, Motown, Love, and UMG received for participating in and facilitating Combs' sex trafficking venture were the affiliation and access to Combs' popularity. Mr. Combs was known for throwing the best parties, quote-unquote best. Affiliation with and sponsorship of Combs' sex trafficking parties garnered legitimacy and access to celebs such as famous athletes, political figures, artists, musicians, and international dignitaries like British royal Prince Harry. Boom. Is it possible these things are all connected? Wait, I got one more here. Facilitating and covering up Combs' sexual trafficking and misconduct was a means of obtaining economic success and promotion within the defendants Lucian Charles Grange, Ethiopia Habadabado, Motown, Love, and UMG hierarchy. This is where I don't know what I'm talking about. But I wonder if they're saying that Grange became the CEO of UMG and became the most powerful man in music, according to Billboard, this route. The Wikipedia says Grange became the chairman of the UK division of UMG, and then in 2005 of... No, I'm sorry. Yeah. Then in 2005 of UMG International. He served in this position until 2010. January 1st, 2011, he became CEO of UMG and then chairman on March 9th, 2011, succeeding Doug Morris. All right, I think we're done. Oh, here we go. Got another one. We're in the 15th cause of action, obstruction of the enforcement of trafficking victims. Defendants Grange, Ethiopia Habadabadu, Motown, Love, UMG should have taken a cue from the federal prosecutor's arrest and prosecution of Epstein in 2019. When the Southern District of New York indicted Epstein and unnamed associates for violating the TVPA, that's the Trafficking Act or whatever. Later on in 2020, the same office indicted Epstein's co-conspirator, Ghislaine Maxwell, for conspiracy to entice minor victims to travel to be abused by Epstein. Combs, Justin Combs, KK, and his direct and her direct reports, Brandon, Paul, Frankie, Santella, and Moy Bon, all engaged in the same activities as Epstein and Maxwell. In fact, Combs, KK, and Justin Combs, and Brendan Paul, Frank Santella, and Moy Bond may have done worse, he's suggesting. Is he talking about murder? And then, you know, he calls out all those same, you know, a bunch of people again. Blah, blah, blah. As evidenced by Cassie Ventura's civil complaint, she informed members of Mr. Combs' parent label about the abuses he was visiting upon her. And instead of coming to her rescue, they forced her to return his calls and return to his sex trafficking enterprise. Wow. Okay. Well, that's it, folks. That's the whole document. Now, back to me. In conclusion, let's wrap it up. I think, and look, this is why Bieber, remember how Bieber had all these weird breakdowns? Bieber was on that video with Diddy when he was just a young, you know, 14-year-old, and Diddy was like, I promised him this Ferrari or something. And, you know, Diddy and Bieber and Usher were all real close. But Bieber had all these mental breakdowns over the years, right? Canceling concerts, doing weird eye things. I wrote an article about it back in 2015. I named it something about MK Ultra breakdowns. I used to be pretty spiteful. I was kind of mean on my blog. I didn't realize how mean I was. I was kind of talking mean about Bieber at the time. I was like, why am I so mean to this guy? This poor guy. But of course I took it down, right? I took the whole blog down, all the articles. Cause at the time he was throwing eggs at houses and pissing in public and spitting on people. And then he did the Comedy Central roast, which was a humiliation ritual, I think, to be reborn in the public eye because he had gone from good to bad and, you know, whatever. Now, so, but anyways, I think maybe that's why Bieber had all these issues, right? Because that's what Lil Rod is saying is that he's traumatized by all this, right? And at first glance, when, like I said, when I read it, because I'm kind of a rowdy guy. At first glance, he's talking about all this stuff. I'm like, dude, this guy, Diddy sounds like a party animal, man. He's got drugs and got chicks coming in doing stuff. He's grabbing his butt a little bit. Okay, so, you know, I'm not into that, but whatever. But then I read more, and I'm like, no, this is like some next level stuff. He's trafficking. He's got underage kids. Like, whoa. This is out of hand. And all this traumatized Lil Rod. I would argue it traumatized Bieber, allegedly, possibly, maybe. Now, Universal Music Group, this is a big one, right? They've got an interesting future now. They just IPO'd a couple years ago. They just recently removed all their music from TikTok. In early February, TikTok began removing songs from UMG's most popular artists, including Taylor Swift, Drake, and Olivia Rodrigo, after the two companies failed to renew their music licensing agreement. UMG claims TikTok tried to bully it into reaching an unfair deal that didn't address the label's concerns about AI-generated music and artist compensation. The fallout has left many TikTok videos with UMG songs silent, which are painful to watch. And even if you're not, UMG is such a big player in the music world. I think there's three big labels and they're the biggest one, I think. Even if an artist isn't signed to UMG, they might have a publishing deal with UMG. Harry Styles, SZA, these are the kind of people that they're still affiliated with it. So they got pulled from TikTok also. And I don't know how this fits in there, but a Chinese company named Tencent, related to 50 Cent, it's the Chinese knockoff of 50 Cent, Tencent. They own 20% of UMG. Not sure how that fits in. I'm just going to throw that out there. Now, and then AI stuff. Last year, UMG was pushing Congress, which I'm sure they've got some connections in there, because if I'm a betting man, there's some stinkery going on with all of these actors involved. But in July 23, they were pushing Congress to make laws to protect artists from people making AI deepfake tracks. Because people do that. They made a track of Drake or something a while ago that really wasn't Drake, but it sounded just like him. Now, these bad behaviors aren't new to UMG. We know it's not new to the entertainment industry. But let's look to the back, to the roots. I'm going to go to Wikipedia, because it gets really confusing. In 1995, Seagram acquired 80% of MCA Records from this Japanese company. On December 9th, 1996, the company was renamed Universal Studios, Inc., and its music division was renamed Universal Music Group. That's UMG. MCA Records continued as a label within UMG. Then in May of 98, Seagram purchased PolyGram and merged it with UMG in 99. Now, I talk about this because the Seagram family is at the root of all this. Because I wrote about Seagram's ties to Death Row Records and another sexual abusing trafficking group called Nexium. Let's go back to my second book, Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic. 10 years ago, I wrote this thing. I wrote, Time Warner owned 50% of Interscope Records, the financial backers of Death Row Records. Interscope was dropped by Time Warner due to negative publicity of rap music, but immediately picked up by Seagram's for $200 million. Seagram's also owned all sorts of ventures, including Universal Pictures and its theme parks, alcohol, etc. Seagram's was trying to expand into the entertainment industry, but eventually had to sell itself to Vivendi. Suge Knight, I have a quote in here from Suge Knight regarding the label drop from Seagram's. Seagram, which makes most of its money manufacturing alcohol, says they don't want to put out hard rap music because of the effect it might have on kids. But let me ask you this, what kills more kids each year? Is it rap music or alcohol? Good one, Suge. And you see where Suge ended up. It should be noted that Seagram's is tied to the Illuminati by Tex Mars in his book Codex Magica, and an article on his website called Jerusalem, Blood and Dynasty, a look at Edgar Bronfman Sr. He claims that the Seagram's founding family, the Bronfmans, did you catch that? The Bronfmans are part of a Jewish Zionist agenda. Oh man, I can't believe that's in my book. Oh boy. It was nice knowing you guys. See, back then you could say stuff like this in the conspiracy world and it was not a big deal, but now everyone's got their nose in the conspiracy world, and it's like, oh boy. Yeah. But look, I said Tex Mars said it, not me. He's also shows an advertisement. Okay, yeah, whatever. Okay, so the Bronfmans, right? The Bronfmans were behind the Seagrams, and the Bronfmans, of course, were the family involved with Nexium. Claire Bronfman, convicted felon, former leader of Nexium, and her sister Sarah Bronfman was a member. It was this Nexium group ran by Keith Raniere was shut down for sex trafficking. It's a multi-level marketing cult of sorts. Now, there's actually more about that. This is kind of why I'm saying I think there might be more players involved. Wink, wink. I'm going to read you from my book again. Ted Fields started Interscope Records. Fields is a supposed Illuminati family name, by the way. This connected family has ties that go back to J.P. Morgan. Interscope was the label that introduced us to Marky Mark as another hardcore white rapper. This didn't take off with the black people, so they grabbed Tupac. Now, this is where Death Row Records comes into the story, with conspiracies that it was funded by the CIA. Drug dealers Freeway Ricky Ross and Michael Harris. Man, that was I should have edited this book better. It's a long sentence. Supposedly, Suge Knight approached Michael Harris and he connected Suge with David Kenner, Harris's attorney, in order to set up Godfather Entertainment. Michael Harris also ties into the CIA because he was revealed to be part of the CIA Contra scandal by investigative journalist Gary Webb. Gary Webb, as you know, was the guy who was shot in the head twice and they said it was a suicide. Now, if you've seen the Netflix Octopus, The Octopus Murders or American Conspiracy Octopus Murders or whatever, all these things should start ringing bells, you know, because they talk about a lot of these elements of the CIA Contras, funding it with black ops, which makes me wonder if Diddy's part of that maybe. They raise money doing illegal operations to pay for illegal activities. There was also suicides, supposedly, of a journalist who was investigating it, just like Gary Webb. I mean, it's like the same playbook. Now, this book also talks about Diddy, Jay-Z, allegations made forever ago by Mark Curry, who was mentioned in that document. About Mark Curry was talking about how Diddy would screw people over, which is what, you know, the document claims. Also talking about Mace leaving Bad Boy after he saw Puff and Nas on the crosses in the Hate Me Now video. But let's shift gears to Jay-Z for a second. Talk about a rapper by the name of Emil was the female voice heard on Jay-Z's Can I Get A song from the Rush Hour soundtrack. She landed a career with Jay-Z's Rockefeller Records, but was dropped shortly thereafter. Some claim she left the industry because she didn't like what she was exposed to, with some websites claiming she specifically said she was forced to make deals with Satan. Quote, the more money she made, the more deals she had to make with Satan. In her album, A Mill, she makes pretty bold statements in her lyrics that support the whole theme and perhaps reference the propositions made to her by Jay-Z. Quote, you said, Emil, I want you to meet a good friend of mine. His name is Money, and we partners till the end of time. Introduce me to your clique, hate, envy, lust, and greed. Said you want the whole world in your custody. And if I give you my soul, you'll give me luxuries. Said you could hit me up with power, it's just up to me. I turn you on when I'm in short skirts and tight jeans. You want my kids to write Santa and celebrate Halloween. Told me, sell my people crack and get rich off fiends. You love the number 6, but hate the number 13. Well, you know who loves the number 13? Taylor Swift. they say that, why does Emil say that Jay-Z hates it? I don't know. She says that he loves 6. Which, you know, we know why, right? 666. Now Jay-Z in all of this is probably tripping. I already told you about how Jay-Z is besties with Diddy. And apparently from the gossip tabloids, he's been sort of staying silent on this and ignoring Diddy's calls or whatever. recall I said, Diddy said, only two people in this world can call me by my real first name of Sean. That's my mother, who he said he would kill, and then Jay-Z. So I think Jay-Z is probably tripping right now because he's got a lot of allegations and rumors and conspiracies about himself. In fact, his Roc Nation label is chummy with UMG. They signed a massive deal last year. Let me read it to you. Jay-Z and his label Roc Nation just made a major move that was the music industry buzzing. The legendary rapper, producer, entrepreneur recently signed a historic deal with Universal Music, making him one of the most powerful players in the game. This multi-year agreement makes an unprecedented level of success for both Jay-Z and Roc Nation as it sets them up to be at the forefront of the industry. It's no secret that Jay-Z has always been ahead of the curve when it comes to business moves. This is certainly not his first big win. From launching Tidal streaming service to being named president of Def Jam Records, he continues to prove himself time and again. Now, by signing this deal with UMG, he's taking things even further. UMG will become home to all future recordings from artists on Roc Nation like Rihanna, DJ Khaled, Meek Mill, and so on. Which, by the way, mentioned in the Diddy document. So I'm going to guess there's some Jay-Z dirt out there somewhere. Then, anyways, Lucian Grange, he's the CEO of UMG, who also, by the way, bought up Prince's catalog in 2017 right after he died. Makes me wonder, did Lucian Grange have, I don't know. The whole thing was very sus. But Lucian Grange, his son, he has a son named Elliot who started a label too that has Trippie Redd, 6ix9ine, my boy, my favorite, old 6ix9ine, and Ice Spice. Remember Ice Spice at the Super Bowl clutching her inverted cross and giving devil horns? Her son Elliot is married to, I'm sorry, Lucian Grange's son Elliot is also married to Sophia Richie. That's Lionel Richie's daughter. Her godfather was Michael Jackson. He allegedly was trafficked too by his own father, according to a supposed book by Jermaine Jackson. Allegedly. Never got published. I detail that in Sacrifice Magic Behind the Mic as well. But to get back on the topic, the point here is that we see the financial success and the fame of overlapping these worlds of artistry, blackmail, of homosexual, unwanted homosexual acts, kid videos with Epstein and Diddy. Allegedly Diddy. Is it possible that this funnels into any of the ABCs, if you know what I'm saying? Like Epstein was allegedly part of too. Recall in October 2022, Kanye West, this is my final thought, Kanye West had those White Lives Matter shirts. You remember that? And at the time, you know, it was him and Candace Owens wearing the White Lives Matter shirt, and Puff didn't like it. Diddy didn't like it. And what did he say? Let's go to XXL. Kanye West has declared war on Diddy after Puff recently shared his disapproval of Ye's White Lives Matter shirts. On Friday morning, October 7th, Kanye West began sharing a text conversation between him and Diddy, in which Diddy appears to want to talk face-to-face about the controversy Ye has stirred up with his White Lives Matter shirts and comments about ending the Black Lives Matter movement. The entertainers began texting after apparently having a phone conversation that Ye was not feeling. "I didn't like our convo." This is Kanye, quote. "I didn't like our convo. I'm selling these tees. Nobody can get in between me and my money. Never call me with no bull stuff like that again unless you're ready to greenlight me. Because anybody that got on that tee is me." Diddy then texted back asking for Ye's address so the two men could talk in person. Kanye responded, "N-word F-U-U-U-U-U-C-K-U. N-word F-U, you fed." Now, you know, I know I've given Kanye West a hard time. I go back and forth on my love and hate of Kanye West. Maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. Not about everything, but about some things. And, you know, Candace Owens, she's been talking about this stuff too. And she, you know, she was part of that whole White Lives Matter thing. Listen to what she tweeted on March 25th. "The feds are currently raiding Diddy's house. They already knew what he was up to, but he is going to be the fall guy so that they can protect the people at the top of the ring. They are raiding his home to hide evidence, not to find it. That's how this works. Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. WTF, what's going on? I certainly don't know. I don't know that we're going to find out. But Diddy's puckering up right now, as he should. So that's the latest. That's the catch up on Diddy. Man, when I said that 2024 was going to be a bad year for Diddy, I didn't know it was going to be this bad. It might be bad news for, there's probably people above him, people that have been to the parties, freaking out. So let's see what happens, I guess. But yeah, that's it. That's the breakdown of the document. Man, I kept you guys more than an hour. My apologies for keeping you this long. Thanks for listening to the show. Thanks for supporting it. You know what? You guys keep this show alive. I say that. I mean that. I appreciate you. I'm very grateful for this. If it wasn't for you guys, I literally wouldn't do this. I appreciate it so much. I'm very grateful. A lot of people I've seen on the Patreon and my VIP section have been upgrading to the Tier 2. You know, instead of $5 a month, they'd be going to $10 a month, and I appreciate that also. That gets you access to the video. It's the talking head version of the thing. The production isn't great. I don't put flashy images and video up, so I don't know if people are doing it because they want to see the videos, you know, because they're ad-free videos on Rumble that are unlisted, or if they're just trying to throw more support my way. Regardless, I appreciate you guys. You know, even people that leave and they become free feed losers, I joke around. I appreciate you guys listening to me. Thank you so much for your support. That's the fourth bonus show this month. That's how much I love you guys. So thank you very much. Thank you for listening. Till next time, stay positive.